we'll try to do today are the halach, the Isra of Ha'alah, which appears in Simin Hey Ches. Of course, the Isra Halah appears in the throughout the Mishnayos in Perek Kol HaBasar. It takes a prominent place. The second line, Kuf Gimel on the base in Kol HaBasar, says, "Va'asra lahalos im hagvina la shulchan." It's prohibited to put on a shulchan gvina and basar together. We have a continued discussion of it on Kuf Yud Gimel. Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph Hamala Sa'ifim Hagvina la shulchan. It's not an Isur Lav, but clearly it's going to be Asur. One will not violate Lo Savash Lo Gedi B'Chalev Imo. So the Mechaber begins quoting the Shitas Harambam in Simin Peches. Zok the Mechaber, Afilu Basar Chayev Oif, Asur La Loisei Ala Shulchan, Shoich Olav Gvina, Shelo Yovei La Ochlam Yachad. It's prohibited to put the two together because we're concerned that you're going to eat both of them together. The Taz is immediately bothered that at the end of the day, that itself is not an Isur D'oraisa. So we have a gzeira that you might come to eat the two together. If you eat the two of them together, that's also not an Isur D'oraisa. The only time it's Isur D'oraisa is when they're cooked together. Derech Bishul, as we learn in Simin Pei Zayin. So the Taz says, "Va'afal pidi k'sha'achom yachad nami lek isur d'oraisa she'ein isur eladafke derech bishul yachad v'nimtze dehave gzera l'gzera." The Gemara amrina the bekai gavna gazrina gzera l'gzera. He says the Gemara says that in such a case it would qualify as a gzera l'gzera that we do make. In other words, it's a legitimate gzera. Now the place he points out that the Taz is simplifying things. If you take a look, the Yad Avram is very much bothered by some of the things that the Shulchan Aruch has done, and but the place he develops that even though the Shulchan Aruch has done some things to change things around based on the Rambam, everything could be understood in a broader context. The Yad Avram doesn't like those pshatim, and he says that really the Mechaber should not have said the words Shelo Yovei La'achlam Yachad. If you take a look in the Gemara says that the Isser of Ha'alot, particularly in a case, this is the Gemara that goes from Kuf Dalet Amid Aleph going to Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, the Gemara asks the question that the Taz seems to be driving at, and that is, at the end of the day, in general, the Gemara asks, we don't make a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So the Gemara there answers, and the Gemara says, no, the Chashash is that if you're going to be Mala them together, so then in such case you're going to cook them together. So it's not a gzera l'gzera. It's one iser, assuming basar of b'chalav is d'oraisa. So it's one iser, and then in such an instance, we're choshesh that you're going to come to be mevashel. You can't put them on the table together because we're afraid you're going to cook them together. That's what comes out according to Abaye on Kuv Dalid Amud Beis. However, the place he points out, the Lechem Mishnah already stopped at this, that the Lashon Rambam is not that way. Actually, we have the Rambam in the booklet, but you don't really need the Rambam right now because the Rambam is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. That says, Shelo Yovo La'achlam Yachad. So the Taz explains the Kresi Uplesi, explains the Rebbe of Yonason, that he is already forewarning the fact that the Gemara's reason is no longer applicable. In other words, for some reason, the Rambam and the Mechaber switched from the chash of the Doraisa, and created a gzera l'gzera. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz says, you're right, it is a gzera l'gzera, but that's okay. We'll be okay. Even though the Gemara didn't like it to be a gzera l'gzera, for some reason the Rambam changed the case and made it gzera l'gzera. So if you take a look, I think we have the place he photocopied in the booklets. If you take a look, it's on the third page. I didn't have my private placey with me. I have the yeshiva's placey, which is a little bit of hieroglyphics. But if you take a look, it's all the way on the bottom. The placey, four lines from the bottom. If you take a look, there the Rebbe Reb Yonason explains that the Rambam changed it because the Rambam himself passed in the Basar of B'chalav is only the Rabbana. So the Gemara ultimately is working, claims the placey, within the opinion that holds that Basar of B'chalav is Doraisa. If basarof b'chalav is daraisa, so then in such a case it's true. You could get out of the problem of gzera l'gzera. But once you're assuming that basarof b'chalav is darabanan, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, it's going to be hard anyhow to explain why it's not gzera l'gzera. Hence, the Rambam said that ein hachanami, even though the Maskanas HaGemara seems to be a different svara, but the Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rambam, shelo yavoy lachlam yachad, ein hachanami, it is gzera, because you're not going to be able to get out of the fact that the Mishnah already said the Isser of Halah applies with Oath. So since the Isser of Halah applies with Oath, so then we're going to be stuck. The Gemara's cheshbonos are not going to work, so says the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason, his words, how he concludes the piece, are as follows, umikol makam gazrin gzera gzera, ein tzarech lomar dechshashu leilfis, that they're going to come to cookie with each other, because he says that because we don't paskin like Abai, we don't paskin. Rak poshut yochlenu yachad. We have a derabbanon mabikach afalisa derabbanon choshu v'gozru hachaka tfeis. You have this greater hachaka according to the Rambam, and you're going to have to say that it is some form of gzera l'gzera. So that's how the Taz. That's how the Taz comes out. That's going to be a gzera l'gzera. Already alluded to, with Taz was coming from the place shelo yavoy lachlam biyachad. That's clearly a gzera l'gzera. That's how the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason explains. Rav Miller Shlita just added that how do you deal with the problem gzera l'gzera? Because at the end of the day, we have a rule of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. So he gave two marim mekomos. Number one, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Dalet and Shabbos by the famous gzera of Hatmana. The Rambam says that even though the Hatmana itself seems to be a gzera l'gzera, gzera shema yatmin beremetz, we're afraid that you're going to come to do Hatmana in coals and then you're going to come to stoke the coals. That's a gzera l'gzera. So Rambam says that when you made a gzera in one tkufa, so then in such a case, that doesn't qualify as gzera l'gzera. In other words, if they made one gzera at one time, even if it's a double chash, so then so too, that could be made, even though we have a general rule of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. What does it mean, ein gozrin gzera l'gzera? If they already made one gzera, and that's what they made once upon a time, and then they come along, and a few generations later, and they add another gzera to that gzera, that's ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. But if it's a two-step gzera, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis seems to say that that's not called ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. So even though that's not borne out from our Gemara, our Gemara doesn't develop all these svaras. From the Gemara is mashma that we would get stuck in ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. We're going to have to say something, b'das ha-Rambam, b'das ha-Shulchan Aruch. Alternatively, Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that Tesis and Brachas on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph says that we do make a gzera l'gzera when one gzera is protecting the other. So we have a gzera that you're not allowed to eat meat with cheese, because we're afraid that if you're going to eat, that's the first gzera. If you're going to eat meat with cheese, so you're going to come to cook it together. And then Chazal said, but included in that gzera is the following. If we're going to allow people to put it on the same table, it's inevitable that they're going to end up cooking together. It's inevitable. You can't separate the two. So then, in such a case, the Lashon of Tesis and Brachas is di lo ha loy kaima ha. If you're not going to make this gzera, then that other gzera is not going to stand. So then in such a case, that's not called gzera l'gzera. Again, we didn't get to stop on this in the Chulin Chavura. All of this doesn't appear in Chulin Kuf Dalet on the base. You know, it's the first time I listened to Rav Miller's shir, it sounded very nice, but I hadn't really done the Gemara well. Once you do the Gemara well, there's still a lot that needs to be filled in. For those who want to fill in the Gemara, we'll have to wait for the morning. I'd rather focus now on the Shulchan Aruch. But these would be the svaras la halacha based on the Taz. Yes, Pnim.
You're showing like the Ramban and the Ritzvah, honestly, they say that
mefurish? Yafe mod. Okay. We'll bli neder take a look. All right, Rav Miller was mechavin to the Ramban. Good. Yeah.
In regards to Oifim Chai, isn't it gzera l'gzera l'gzera?
So that would be, again, you would say, even then, ilo kaimah, lo kaimah would apply. Rav Miller pointed out the nafkamina between the Rambam and the Tesis would be that, according to Tesis, you could add 2,000 years later and say, ilo kaimah, lo kaimah. If nowadays, if you're not going to answer this, so then the original gzera is not going to last. But according to Rambam, it has to be in one generation. That's the mashmal. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. I forgot to mention that on the first page of the photocopy, you have the Chochmas Adam, where the Chochmas Adam doesn't like that. He asks all these questions on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says everybody's wrong. If you take a look, Mesiach Lefitumo, the Chochmas Adam in Mem Yud Aleph, he says, V'lachein Gazru Chazal, the last word on Kuf Mem Dalid, going to Kuf Mem Hey, V'lachein Gazru Chazal, the Asa Lahalos al Shulchan Basar Gvina Kechad, V'agav B'sar Behema Gazru Gama Basar Of, Afal Gav B'gama Achilas Aino with Rabbanan, Mikol Makom Lo Plug Rabbanan Bazeh. We need to go back a few more words. On Kuf Mem Dalid, right before V'lachein, he says, what is the chash? La'alos al shulchan lezeh basar lezeh gvina, v'yiniach ha'gvina ba'osa ilfetz roseach, shemunach ba'a basar, v'nimtza nispashu yachad, v'chach masadam, and giving the halach l'maisa. The amazing thing about the Sefer Chach Masadam is that he's a giant in Iyun, yet at the same time he wrote for the Hamon Am in halach l'maisa, the way he taught it to everybody is nimtza nispashu yachad. And he says, that's the gzera. And on the third line, he then says, he doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch said, Shelo Yavo Lo'achlam. So the Chacham HaSadam left off with Tzarchiyan. He obviously didn't like the Taz. He didn't like this whole Mahalach. Did the Chacham HaSadam miss a Ramban? I don't know. We have to, look at that Ramban. But at the end of the day, he was bothered that the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch follow something that at first glance seems to be against the Gemara. That discussion is really academic. What we need to jump in now is to the details of the halacha. It's important to Taz, but it is, at the end of the day, academic. So we have this halacha that you can't have basar and gvina together on the same table. The Shach points out, Sif Katan Aleph, the obvious, that the same would apply, that if you already have basar on a table, then you can't put gvina onto the table, even though the Mechaber had said the inverse. There's a fascinating discussion that the Shach and Sif Katan Beis. There the Shach discusses how one looks. By the way, in the outline, it's a mistake. I said Shach Sif Katan Aleph. It should be Shach Sif Katan Beis. So there in Shach Sif Katan Beis, he discusses, does this apply to all Machalos Asuras? This will come up halacha lemaisa. If you're sitting and you're sitting at a table and there's someone who's eating treif, do you need a heker next to that person? So we're going to learn shortly that the Isra Allah is taken care of with a heker. So is there a requirement when it comes to Macholos Asuras? The problem is that in Shulchan Aruch there's no mention that there is, if anything, there might be a Beis Yosef that's Mashma Lekula, that you can't. The question is why? Why would there be a difference? If it comes to Basa B'chalav, we're Choshish that you're going to mix it. So if you're eating with somebody else, so if you're going to tell me you don't know him, you don't get along with him, that's going to be in Sif Beis. Okay, that'll be a heker. But what happens if it's a co-worker that you do get along with? You both are Yankee fans. So then, in such a case, then there should be a chash that you'll end up sharing. So the Shach over here says no. He says that when it comes to Macholos Asuros, that's going to be different. Macholos Asuros, by nature, people are badil, in the sense that they know already that Macholos Asuros are aser. What is the one other example? Says the Shach. Where we have the idea of where there is a requirement to have a heker. That's in regards to nedarim. So when it comes to nedarim, so if I made a neder and I said that I'm not going to eat apples, so if I'm sitting next to someone with an apple, so then the Gemara tells us that I'm not allowed to. It's the iser to sit together. What's nedarim have in common with basar b'chalav? So both nedarim and basar b'chalav, what they have in common is that they're both things that are not osur me'atzmo. So since each one is heter b'fnei atzmo, I'm more likely to come lidei nichsha. However, when it comes to basar b'chalav, since chalav is not by definition osur, just when I mix it with basar, so then Chazal needed to make that gzera. Similar when it comes to nedarim, then in such a case, I need to make the achshash. So the things that people are by nature not badal, so then in such a case, I'm going to need to make the achshash. Chametz is an interesting study case. What about chametz? Chametz, on the one hand, at times is mutter, at times is aser. So one would have expected that chametz, the halacha should be, well, what would you say? What would you say about chametz? Chametz, on the one hand, at times, it's similar to the question when it comes to Isura Bala or Hetera Bala. How do you look at chametz? So here, the Shach points out that the halacha is in Tafmem, Goy Haban Chemtzel Beis Yisrael, also la halosimo ala shulchan. The halacha is that you're not allowed to sit with the goy, even though the chametz is now aser. So the shach gives two potential terutzim, three potential terutzim actually. Number one, he says chametz we're not used to being batel minei. It should be like basar b'chalav. Number two, he says that it's a chumra chametz. We have many chumras of chametz. Chametz is aser b'mashu. So therefore, we're going to be machmir as well when it comes to chametz. Finally, says the shach, it could be that by chametz we're going to be machmir because chametz is such a staple that a person can't live without. Ki loy al alechem levado yichya adam. In the world of gashmi, everybody needs bread. That was before the crazy protein diets. So then, in such a case, then we're more likely to be choshesh that a person is going to nash from somebody else. The shach, I did not spell out, it feels compelled to say this pshat according to Archas Chaim. I didn't spell out exactly why. You could take a look over there. But the shach gives three potential explanations when it comes to chametz, why chametz would also be aser. So let's crunch. When you have basar b'chalav, then we have the harchaka. Shari surim does not have. So bottom line, with your friend who's a Yankee fan who's eating macholos asuris, in such a case there is no requirement of harchaka. However, when it comes to chametz, that's an exception. We have three possible explanations for why chametz would be an exception. And ultimately, chametz also would be usher to have ha'alah. The shach then concludes with a nafkamina. The shach says, if you're going to go with our last pshat of why chametz is different, so then what will come out is as follows. What will come out is that when it comes to chametz, there, just like we see that by bread, the reason why it's usher is because of kila alechem levado yichya adam, the same would apply to all machalos asuras of bread. So let's say you held that, let's say it was a case of pas akum that was really usher, or for someone who's machmir for pas palter, not just in a few days that they're machmir on aseres mei tshuva, but they're machmir for pas palter, then would come out according to the last teretz of the shach. So then in such a case, then there would also be a din of harchaka when it comes to lechem. I think we generally pas like the other terutzim, but it would be interesting if it's not too inconvenient, a person could be choshesh for that shita when it comes to pass that is us. Yes, Binyam.
Can you repeat what way that you read
the Nadarim part? Nadarim. We'll discuss in the Beis Medrash. I was giving a bare bones outline, and I didn't read it inside. So, yeah, Yoni, go ahead.
Would the same thing apply as a person is generally going to eat at a Mahadra restaurant?
Okay.
And he's sitting next to somebody who has food from a Rabbanu restaurant.
So for Lania's, there are many reasons to be megal. First of all, you could go in two directions. Number one is that, as Rav Miller said in his Kashrus Shir, that he thinks that it's not the pshat that in Rabbanut or Choshesh that's not kosher, but rather there are certain chumras that are kedai for some to follow when it comes to mahadrin. That's aleph. Beis is therefore there wouldn't be a requirement of heker. And you go in the other direction. And if you hold that's really machalas asura, so then in such a case it would be batal. In such a case, by nature, a person would be batal. So maman of shech, it would seem to me
unless
it's okay.
Unless you say that it's, I mean, if it's mitam minha, if the reason why it's asura is because you know it's kosher, but you
right.
You
so I don't.
Then it's like a
meta. Right. So no one should go into mahadra restaurants and b'toras neder. You should always, whenever someone asks you, you should say bli neder. If you'll notice, Rav Tversky Shlita, every time he speaks about anything, he always says bli neder mirtzeh Hashem. Always says bli neder mirtzeh Hashem. And Rav Nevinzal also, whenever I ask him if he's machmir for something, he tries to wiggle out of it. But if in the end he concedes, he'll always say bli neder. So a person should try. There's no reason why a person should end up in a situation where he's taking a petora as neder. If he does, so then we have to go back to the shach and read the shach again and see exactly what the shach said about neder, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, that's um, that I, I don't think it's really much of a shaila. Tov. So that was Sif Aleph. Sif Beis brings us to Roman numeral 2 of the sugya, and that is a Gemara on Kuf Zayin and Beis and Kuf Ches and Aleph. I'm going to start to continually read from the Gemara that I asked you to bring along with the Shulchan Aruch. So let's take a look at the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Tzair Adam Batsar Ugvina. So the Mishnah tells us, Shnei Achsanoim, you have two guests. Eichlin al Shulchan Echad, Ze Basar Ze Gvina, Vein Chayshishin. If you have two people who are in a hotel, there's no problem. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Avchanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel, about 10 lines from the bottom. Lo Yishanu El Shein Makirin Ze Ze. It's only if they don't know each other. Aval makirin zeze asur, but if they know each other, so then in such a case, it's going to be asur. The Gemara continues, so that's going to be an important klal, that if you don't know each other, it's going to be mutter. If they're Yankee fans, so then in such a case, then it's going to be asur. Tanya nami hachar b'shim gamlil omer beizach sanam shenis arach lupundik echad, ze ba min atzafoyim, ze ba min adorim, ze ba b'chatichas, ze ba b'gvinasa, echlan al shulchan echad, ze ba ze gvin ve'en chayshishim. There's no problem. But we have one more chumrah. V'loy asru el betfisa achas. So Gemara says that if it's betfisa achas, so then in such a case we're going to have another chumrah. What exactly is tfisa achas? So here, to keep things simple in halacha shir, or straightforward, not simple, to keep things straightforward in halacha shir, we'll go straight to Taisus, who has a two dais, and Divrei Maskil ke'ein tfisa achas. Taisus has two dais, and we'll develop according to both those dais. So Taisus says, Vim yesh davar mafsik, lo havi ke'ein tfisa achas. According to the first pshat of Taisus, tfisa achas means that it's one area, makom hanitfas. It's one area, so let's say they're both eating on a large sackcloth, that would be tfisa achas. They were able to lift both of those things together. And Taisus brings a raya from Perek Rabbi Shmuel. We'll leave Taisus' raya for now, even though it does connect to a few details that we'll have later on. Taisus then quotes another daya, about 10 lines before the bottom, where Taisus says, V'yesh mefarshim deloy asru ela b'tfisa achas kloymar shehem bo'itza achas kegoyin achim shekanu esrug b'tfisas habayis. Taisus learns an entirely different shot. The second shot, and that is tfisa achas comes from the word of hotza'a, expense. In other words, tfisa achas, do we have the same bank account or do we have different bank accounts? So if there are people who share the same bank account, if they're brothers, so then in such a case, as the Gemara in Bava Basra, what Tosa is pointing out is the term tfisa is used very differently in Avodah Zarah than it's used in Bava Basra. Bava Basra means an inheritance. And that would mean, therefore, people who come from each from one bank account. While Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, by talking about the Avodah Zarah Markolis, over there, Tfisa Achas means that it's in one particular area. So Tosfos has an entirely different pshat, the Yesh Mefarshim. And the Yesh Mefarshim's pshat is that they're all connected to one bank account. So the example would be brothers, husband and wife would be example. Yankee fans would not be an example. So according to Tosfos, the example that we gave of having something in common would not apply. It has to be that we're part of one tfisa, we're part of one family. So that's the machlekes that we have, the two deos in Taisus. The Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel points out that how the Rambam learns. So let's take a look. We have a photocopy first of the Rambam. Let's see the Rambam. Perek Tes, Halacha Chaf and Halacha Chaf Aleph is all of what we've learned today. The Rambam, all that we're about to learn today, the Rambam put in seven lines. Says the Rambam in Chaf Aleph, Shnei Achsanoim, She'ena Makirin Zeze, if you have two hotel goers that don't know each other, Eichlin Al Shulchad Echad, Zeb Besar Behema Zeg Vina, Mipnei She'en Ze Gas Liboy Bezeg Kedei She'echalimai. There's no connection between them. So Ad Kan, Divrei Rambam. This is the only thing that the Rambam says. He says, they have Shnei Achsanoim, that they're allowed to eat with each other. Everybody else would not be allowed to eat with each other. Now, Rabosai, is the Rambam consistent with the standard halachos that we know in regards to Heker? Says the Beis Yosef, no. The Rambam actually found his way into Sif Aleph, but the Beis Yosef, as we've discussed, Shelo Yavo Lachlan Biyachad, Sif Beis claims the Beis Yosef is a different world than the Rambam. How's it a different world than the Rambam? Because if you learn like Taisus's pshat, that the word is that they know each other, and that they're close to each other. If it's tfisa achas, they're close to each other. So then in such a case, as long as you have a heker, as we're going to learn, that's going to be enough to be matir. Once you have a heker, so it's no longer tfisa achas. So for an example that we're going to see in Shulchan Aruch is if you have one sitting on his food on a table, the other, the food is on a mappa, so then that's not tfisa achas, then that's going to be matir. That works nicely according to Tosis' first pshat. The tfisa achas means that it's one area. But the Rambam didn't mention, says the Beis Yosef, didn't mention anything about a heker working at all. So the Rambam doesn't hold, the Beis Yosef claims, heker. He holds a heker wouldn't work. So it must be that he understood tfisa achas differently. He learned like the Yesh Mefarshim. That the Beis Yosef in Kuf Ayin Gimel points out. If you take a look on the next page, on the other side of the Rambam, Kuf Ayin Gimel, in Dibar Maskel, Aval Rambam. Wait a second. Is it did not make it onto this page? Yeah, v'arif. It did make it onto this page. V'arif. V'arif lehisker ha dekein tfisa achas. V'nira shemefarish kipirish achron shekosva tosis v'arash. The rif and the Rambam go like the second pshat. In other words, there is no heter of heter. And they're going to learn like the second pshat of Taisis. Because according to Taisis, the second pshat, tfisa achas means that they're all part of one budget. So then, according to that pshat, simply separating the foods is not going to be enough. They're so used to intermingling with each other, a heker is not going to be enough. According to the first pshat, a heker is going to work. And who makes this point? Taisis himself. If you take a look at Taisis on Kuf Zayin Amabes, the Taisis says, U'pirish zelo ayli klal shumutu lechal shulchan echa b'shvil hesik shebein asayin. Tosis says that the nafkamina between these two pshatim is going to be whether heker is going to work. According to the second pshat, it doesn't make a difference whether you have a heker or not. According to the first pshat, then in such a case, a heker is going to work. So the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention heker, says the Beis Yosef, means that he's learning like the second pshat, and so too, that is the shita of the Rif and the Rambam. Yes, sure.
Just clarification. The spar of the second Tosos is that since they share the same bank account, they're too ruggle.
They're too ruggle together. Correct.
But
correct.
But even if they don't,
right?
Even if they don't, it's Ka'ain.
But if they're living as Ka'ain Tfisa, as Tfisa, Ka'ain Tfisa Achas, then that's going to be enough. Right. Correct. The Hainisha Makirin says that. Correct. Rabbi Yamin is pointing out that when the Gemara answers Ka'ain Tfisa Achas, the Gemara is saying that we start out with someone who is so know each other so well that they share one bank account, but once we have Ka'in Tfisa Achas, that means as long as they know each other, it's going to be Usur, and in that case, even a heker is not going to work. That's Tosis is Nafkamina. You could have disagreed, by the way, with Tosis, but the Beis Yosef assumes like Tosis is Nafkamina, and that the Beis Yosef says is that the Rambam doesn't hold that this is going to work for heker. Yes, Chaim. Yes, yes, and we'll develop it in Mirtz Hashem as we go on.
Correct. But the Arab Sugi is Heker. So, I mean,
correct.
It sounds it's almost like Taisus learning Tasso by Suda La Suda. All you need to do is be Mapsik and you just need to stop one Suda to go to the next.
Okay, sounds interesting. I don't have the time to process that right now, but we'll. Let's process, okay? I hear what you're driving at. I have a klal from my rabbeim that I don't process something new, particularly in halacha shir. I always try not to say anything that I didn't think of before, and then if the Talmud suggests something that seems interesting, to leave it for Seder to discuss together. So this is what the Beis Yosef says in Kufayin Gimel. So let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch and see how Shulchan Aruch paskins. Says the Mechaber, "Hada asa lahaloisay al shulchan dafke b'shnei bnei adam hamakirim zeze." It's only two people that know each other. Avol heimak afilu heimak bidim zelze, and this applies even if they're makbid. In other words, they're in a fight with each other. Avachsanoyim shein makirim zeze muter, but achsanoyim that are in a hotel So then it's going to be mutter. Rafila makirim, and even makirim, it's going to be mutter. Asu shum heker. If they make a heker, kigon she'achal echad, kigon she'kol echad. Excuse me, ochal al mapesh lo. Each one eats on his own mat. Or afilu ochal al mapa achas v'noisn b'nei and pas lekeira mutter. It could be, by the way, Chaim, that the word mafsik would be the resha of the No, it's not going to work. Okay. So either way. So there are two exceptions if they know each other. One is that they eat on two mappos, and the other is that if they have, even if they eat on one mappa, if they have a heker between them, in such a case, it's going to serve as an appropriate heker. By the way, the Sefer Yad, there's so many Yads. There's the Yad Ephraim, there's the Yad Yehuda, and there's the Yad Avram. So I think this is the Yad Avram. The Yad Avram in my edition is in the back. The Yad Avram points out that some people make a mistake today, and they say, oh, we're eating on two mats, it's going to be mutter. So if in your house, the way it works is that everybody eats on a mat. In other words, some people have a tablecloth, and some people will have mats on the table itself. Some people have a tablecloth and mats. But whatever is the derech for you to eat, so then in such a case, that obviously is not going to serve as a heker. Even though it's mefurish, that a mat, two mats are a heker, that's only when the derech is not to eat with two mats. But if the derech is to eat with two mats, it's not going to serve as a heker. We're going to see time and time and time again that the paiskim are going to spell out that what's a heker, what's not normal. What's not normal, that's going to serve as a heker. So you can't get too caught up with the language over here. The Yad Avram makes that point later on in our siman. Yes, Binyam?
What about different colored mats? So like in the mall food court, like, you know, I get pizza and someone gets burgers, so like they're different. It's like a dark tray and a light tray.
Right.
Even though they're each normal for themselves,
right.
But like, it is a building.
Right. So in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you might get stoned, but Meikr Dedina, we're both from Ramat Beit Shemesh. So Meikr Dedina, I think it would be mutter. Right. In other words, if it's clear that this is a fleshiga thing and this is a milchiga thing, then in such a case it would be mutter. It would seem to me. Okay. By the way, it's really not like that. We're just playing into the stereotype. It's not at all like that. You just want some entertainment. You go to the neighbor next door, but it's not like that at all. Okay. So that's this basic rule of heker that we have in the Mechaber in Sif Beis. Interestingly, how did the Beis Yosef come to this psak? This is a collector's item. Somebody's writing the last time we had a couple of years ago, it was Taka last time in the Bas Rechol, Jacob Bernstein was here, and he was writing a PhD on the Aruch HaShulchan. So some of these Marmakomas were helpful for when we discussed Aruch HaShulchan for his PhD. So if somebody's writing something about the development of Psak within the Beis Yosef, this is a fascinating Marmakom. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam and the Riff, and generally he goes with the Rambam and the Riff. And then he concludes and he says, I don't know, they haven't made this one famous. Maybe the people who are writing... It has been made famous. Let me just say it to everybody. He then says, "V'ha'olam noyagim k'day rishona." The world is already noyag like the first day of Tosas. So the Beis Yosef, what's the Beis Yosef's rule? If you have Rambam Rif Rosh, he goes with the Rambam and Rif. So this is a collector's item that the Beis Yosef followed the minhag olam against his klalei hapsak. So that's then itself is a collector's item. I've never seen this quoted in articles about the development of minhag versus hachra and psak. This is in Kufa and Gimel's interest. Yeah, Binyam?
The Shir HaSayam quotes two things in the footnotes.
Okay.
One of them is that it's a minhag olam.
Right.
Which is funny because it's following the minhag olam, like always is about the minhag olam. The second one is that neither the Rambam nor the Rif spell it out. They just silent.
Yeah, fair.
So
that's interesting.
To
right. So both of those points aren't so interesting for a PhD, but our point is interesting for a PhD. Okay. See who's from her. All right. So that's in regards to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, in terms of details in regards to Heker, so if you take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkatan Gimel, so halfway through, he quotes a marshal that has quite a limitation in regards to the Dine Heker. he says as follows, or quite an application. That, let me rephrase the sentence. V'kasa abach b'shem Rashal, halfway through Sifkat and Gimel, to be yoishvim rechaykim zem ezeb, b'chtei she'en yachol ha'echol lifshot yodoy, v'le'echol masha oichol chavero, shari l'divri akol b'lo yakeira. That the klal is that you don't need a heker if you can't reach the food. So this is a very, very important limitation. So when are you going to need a heker for basa b'chalav? That's only if I can easily lean over and take from your food. But if I'm going to have to walk and go to the other side of the table, or you're going to need to get up and move it to me. So then, in such a case, the halacha is that no heker is needed. Azoy vait, they didn't make the gzera. They only made the gzera where it's yachol echa lifshot yodav v'lechol masha echa chaver. That's the only instance that it's going to be mutter. By the way, from here, the Lashon of Pischei Tshuva is Yifshot Yodoy V'lechol Masha Oichel Chavera. It sounds like, and we didn't work on this, Reborn, I didn't stop at this, it sounds like what happens if I can't reach your food? In other words, let's say someone's sitting over here by this, across on the other desk. So I can only reach up to here. So then L'chura would be mutter, even though he'd be able to pass it to me. As he'd be able to pass it to me, I'd be able to take it from him. So Lo Amadati Al Zeh, when we were learning, but the chura, the mashmos of the Pischei Tshuva is that I have to mamish be able to reach into his food. So I leave that as an open question. I would have thought that it could be anything he could pass to me is going to be usher, but here it seems that it's something that you'll be able to lean over. So that's a very, very important heker that one should be aware of. Let's take a look at some of the Ramah's examples of Heker, and then we'll continue more of an analysis of the Pischei Tshuva's example shortly. Continues the Shua, you have a question?
I have just a clarification on this. Sure. The alternative, though, is that you're saying that you can pass it from person to person.
Right.
That means that any dinner table you can have it from person to person to person to person.
Ah, so that's a discussion in Nida. By Nida also there's a requirement of Heker, that it could be that if there's people sitting in between them, that that's also going to serve as a Heker. In other words, simply having someone else in between you is going to serve as a Heker. We'll discuss whether that applies. The poskim say that that applies for Hilchos Nida. There are many poskim that are Mekel, some are Machmir, but let's say Reuven's wife is a Nida. So Reuven is sitting here. His Yaakov is sitting here, his son Reuven is sitting over here, and his wife Leah is sitting over there. So some poskim say that there's no need to put a heker at all. As simply having anybody, it doesn't have to be their children, simply having someone in between them is going to be enough. So that would be the answer to your question, why passing would not be a problem. So I leave it up, open as a question within the Pischei Tshuva. Yes, Zach?
Can we pass like this Pischei Tshuva the last
one? Do we... Not only do we paskin like this Pischei Tshuva l'maisa, we're going to see that there are many things that the poskim extend from this Pischei Tshuva as well. So bottom line is, if you want me to reformulate, is that certainly if it's so far that you would have to get up to get it, it would be mutter. I leave open the question, what happens if I can't reach into your food, but you could pass it to me? I think the minhag olam is to be machmir in such a case. That's my sense. But I didn't think about it, and so therefore we'll have to get back to you on that. What's that?
But there's a big enough table, then there's
right. Nachon. That's the simplest way of solving issues. You don't even need a heker. But the Ramah, based on the Poske Ashkenaz, gives us other hekers. The Dafka says Ramah, She'ein ochlim min apas hamunach b'neim leheker. Avol ma'ochlim imenu lo have heker. So the Ramah immediately comments on the example of heker, of a pas, bread that's put between us, is going to be considered heker, assuming that bread we're not eating from. At the moment which we're eating from, then it's supposed to be there, it's supposed to be there on the table. Now from here, from this Ramah, what emerges is a very, very interesting chidush. And that is, those things that are normally found on the table, but you and he, or you and your wife that's Anida, know that you're not, it's there not to be eaten from, then that would be enough to qualify as a heker. That's what comes out. That a pas, which is normally found on the table, But if both of you are not eating from it, and you know that you're not going to need it, eat from it, then in such a case it would serve as a hekar. A similar example I heard from Rav Nevensal Shlita in regards to salt shakers. We're going to discuss salt shakers stam in terms of basar b'chalav, using them both for basar b'chalav. So Rav Nevensal has the following basic idea. Sometimes it's uncomfortable for a husband and wife to have a hekar which is obvious that doesn't belong on the table. Let's say they're assuming, like the poskim who say that if there are other people on the table, still it's not enough to be considered a heker. Simply having other people, maybe having people in between them is enough, but having other people at the table is not enough to qualify as a heker. So Rav Nevensal pointed out that you don't need to have something strange on the table to serve as a heker. For example, let's say they could have two different sets of salt shakers. They could have one set of salt shakers that are used when she's not Anita, and one set of salt shakers that are used that when she is Anita. It doesn't have to be a foreign body that's normally not found on the table. That could also serve as a hacker. So that's this idea as well, that we see that as long as the pas they're not eating from, so then in such a case, then that would be okay. Once it's obvious that it's... That there's something here that's different that's there to remind them, then that would be enough. Rav Nevensal's example is a little bit more of a chiddush. We'll see that there are probably makoros for that as well. But that's the concept. It doesn't have to be a foreign body that's on the table. Yes, Chaim.
If I almost need meaning, it's not about that someone's like necessarily in between them. It could be sitting right next to them. The idea is just that someone else is there, right?
Correct. That's a diun in the poskim. There are many people who are mekel when they're sitting next to each other. Not everybody accepts that.
Right. So, but I mean, at least the one outside, I mean, the point of the is there, it's for an emotional see or that they
correct. Very good. We're going to get to the Badei Shulchan that makes your point and is more machmer in certain instances of Basar B'chalav because of the point that you're making. That's correct. That could very well be that you can't necessarily borrow all the heterim of Basar B'chalav of Nida and extend them to Basar B'chalav. Correct. We're going to see the Badei Shulchan that makes a point. One thing at a time. Continues the Ramah. Avol nasnu b'neim kli sheshosim imenu ubelav achi ein dark alios hal shulchan have a heker achol pi sheshosim in a kli. If they're putting a glass or a jug that's normally not there, even if they're drinking from it, then that's going to serve as a heker. This Ramah is an even better example for the salt shakers, right? Because here the Ramah is talking about something that's normally on the table, like a salt shaker. And but since it's this soul shaker is not there, this jug is not there, so that's going to serve as a hecker. The kol shekein im nasnu sham menorah o shar dvarim shal shulchan havik hecker. If they put a menorah that's normally not there, then that's going to serve as a hecker. The crazy in Oz Dalid, I did not photocopy it for you. The crazy in Oz Dalid, Rav Oren and I saw quoted. And we looked it up, that the crazy says that let's say it's normal to have a menorah on the table, but you put the menorah in a different place, that would also serve as a heker, which is quite a chidush lahalacha, that the place he says that. Any time that you're going to put something that's a change, that would serve as a heker. Yesh lodun, we're not doing hilchos nida now, but that might be a real eitz on Shabbos, that if normally they put the candelabra on the table in the middle of the table, and they put the on the other side, so the guests don't know where they normally put the candelabra. So yesh lodun whether that place is enough, but the place is clear. Crazy is clear in regards to basar b'chalav. In such a case, it's going to be mutter. Daniel pointed out that the Ramah now segues. He segues from what we would call heker to those things that we have to be choshesh that there's basar b'chalav is going to be shared on one particular kli. V'yu zihirim. What was the term you used, Daniel? Heker was the first part, and the other, hefret?
Cross-contamination.
Cross-contamination, and pirut. To separate from the basar b'chalav. V'yu zihirim shol lishtos mikli echad, mishum sha'maichal nidbak b'kli. So you have to be careful not to drink from the same utensil because the maichal is nidbak b'kli. By the way, from the Ramah's words, it sounds like we're not concerned about backwash. What we're concerned about is that either on the lips or on his hands, there's going to be basar, and then the other person's going to be chalav. So then, in such a case, we're afraid that there's going to be mixture. Obviously, this is not chash d'oraisa, it's chash d'rabbanan, but it's all part of Allah that we saw that it's all part of that one gzeir. V'kol shekein shi'ol orchlumi pas echad. V'chein nogin liyachei kli shel melach, And the custom is to designate a salt shaker. So the Ramah paskins that you need two different kalim shel melach. If you take a look, Rabbi Forst, I photocopied it for you, going from 2:11 to 2:12. Rabbi Forst, in his fantastic sefer, discusses in regards to salt shakers today, and he makes the chiluk that Rav Nevensal is into, and Rav Oren told me Rav Willig Shlita is also into, and that is that clearly the Ramaz salt kli shel melach is not our kli shel melach. Some people still use the Ramaz thing for challah, that according to Zohar you dip into the salt. So then that we're talking about a small salt dish that you dip inside. So then, that was how they used salt in those days. So then, in such a case, then you have a chash that there's going to be mamashas of basar and mamashas of challah that are going to come in. But if you have a salt shaker, there's really not going to be a chash. So Rav Nevensal Shlita told me that he doesn't think that salt shakers, one needs separate salt shakers for meat and milk. And that's how we're knowing in my house. We don't have special salt shakers for meat and milk. There's no need. Now the Rabbi Forst comes out lechumra. The Badei HaShulchan writes Kim Dumani that the minhag olam is to be machmir even with salt shakers, to have separate milchik and fleishik salt shakers. I think many people, Badei HaShulchan was a posik for many years in Brooklyn. I think many people there follow that old custom to follow the Rama literally. He spells out the Vaitig Shashas, these far out Shashas, and Zeya, and maybe there'll be Mamashos that will come in contact with the food itself if you're not careful. I would differentiate between whether you have young children in the house or not. If you have young children in the house, so. Between whether they're small children or not.
He says it's right.
If you have small children, yeah, fair. So, we have photocopied. Let's take a look. Right, Forst says that. There's a Badei HaShulchan. I saw that the Badei HaShulchan just says that the minig used to mach. Could be, I don't have that thing.
He talks about young kids.
He talks about young kids? Yeah, fair. Yeah, mode. So it could be I don't have that photocopied in the. Rabbi Forst clearly mentions the chash of young children. Vanias daiti, one could be makel, and in general, when there's a chash, things are going to come in contact with each other. So then, just all you need to do is rub off the top of the kli. Backwash, we pointed out, you're not concerned about. So Rav Oren gave continuing the baseball examples. I when I was a Yankees fan, that was way before they had any kosher concessions. You went to a ball game, it was Mesiras Nefesh, it was pure love for baseball. You stayed hungry until you got home. But from now, nowadays I understand that you have kosher concessions. So what would be the story that at the kosher concessions, they give you the hot, from what I understand, the hot dog and the bun, but sometimes, it depends which ballpark you're talking about. It could be in Shea Stadium, Yankee Stadium, they'll even have the ketchup and everything like that. Places you go a little further away from Jewish communities, so they might still have a kosher concession, but they're not going to have all the ketchup and the mustard and so on. So then in such a case, if one wipes off the area, then l'churim ikr d'dina, it would be mutter. I'll tell you, I would have a hard time. I would have a hard time going to a place that's mamish treif l'mahadrin and to use the ketchup and the mustard over there. But mi ikr d'dina, if you're not concerned about real zeya, it depends on what they're putting underneath, then in such a case, mi ikr d'dina, it would be mutter. So similarly, the reason I mentioned in the context of salt shakers is if the salt shakers are used over very, very hot foods, or the salt shakers are being used by children and are likely to take the mamashos, so in the second case, it's the mamashos, I would say to wipe it off. And in regards to Zeya, there's lots of room to be made in regards to Zeya. If it often uses the salt shakers that are used in cooking, I would recommend that in such a case be separate. But otherwise, the stuff that's marked on the table would be fine. Yeshua.
I mean, it's off topic only because you mentioned it. It's off topic, but only because you mentioned it. Wouldn't you have to check the the hechsher for the.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Of course, of course, it has to be that
the outside.
Yeah, right, right. It would have to. It would have to be, of course, a kosher ketchup and mustard. Absolutely. Yeah.
Does the Gemara talk about like a milcha next to a kada de kimcha?
Right.
Place them next to each other. The Rambam says because like maybe like just like being in the same environment is gonna make it milcha.
Right. That's a shver Rambam. What exactly is the Rambam's chashash? Look, over here, it doesn't seem to be coming from that Rambam. This is the chashash of Poske Ashkenaz. So I think the over there, we're going to see that it happens, these are things that are likely to spill over into each other. It's not the pshat that we're afraid that there's mamashos. It's like the salt. The chashash over here was that there's mamashos inside of the salt. Here we don't have the chashash. Over there, it's very different. There you have the two kadim that are going to make each other aser. Here we're talking about that somehow the melchik, the salt shaker, is going to transfer it from. It's going to absorb melchiks and it's going to transfer into fleshiks. It's a much more a further chashash than the chashash of the Rambam. But you're right. That Rambam does bring up things in regards to Har Chakos that eventually we're going to have to discuss as well. But I don't think it's the same case. Yeah?
What about these Mamper and ball games?
I have a lot to say. See, that's what happens when you have someone who felt, and Shanabet felt comfortable learning with you, Bekias. So then he is comfortable to ask such a question in the middle of Halacha Shir. First of all, someone's father here wrote a fantastic article about it. Rabbi Yisrael's father wrote an article about it in Torah to Go a year ago. Can I answer this briefly? I think sports are a very, very healthy outlet and is a very, very important outlet. I think hero worship is extremely, extremely dangerous, and it has to be addressed in a very, very serious way. Ball games themselves, unfortunately, today also have components of pritzus as well that needs to be addressed. And I'll tell you what I did with my youngest son. We do, when we're in the States, every once in a while we do take him to a ball game, but I don't take him. Actually, this summer I wanted to learn, so my wife took him with some of the other kids, but to a minor league game, not to a major league game. And you have all the beauty of baseball in a minor league game without the hero worship. As far as the, and I think in general, the culture is a much more of a pure, if you love the game, actually the more emes of the game is not in Yankee Stadium. It's in some single A or double A stadium. That's where you're going to get the beauty of the game itself. Okay, so my love of baseball came out, and I hope some from Kai came out as well. Nachzor l'inyanenu. So this is the Ramah in Sif Beis. In regards to menorah, so over here the Ramah said that a menorah would be matir. If you take a look at the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe in Siman Peches, you'll take a look. The Darkei Moshe quotes this halacha menorah from an Iser Veheter. The Iser Veheter says, "V'tzarech shiyehe haheker davar she'ein ochlen oso uktsas gavoa kigom menorah v'kankan." So the Iser Veheter says that the menorah has to be a little bit tall, ktsas gavoa. It could be a little bit tall, so it should be a little bit tall. If you read this Darkei Moshe, it would seem that a heker can't be something that's flat. So the poskim discuss, we're going to see shortly, the Shevet Alevi discusses, what happens if you have what's often used, by the way, not recommended, but what's often used by a couple for a heker, nida, would be her ring. Why is it not recommended? Because that's the first step of the ring disappearing. But does a tabas work? Now, tabas is not gvoa ktsas. So we were torn a little bit, because on the one hand, the Darkei Moshe says gvoa ktsas, but if you look in the Ramah, there's no mention of gvoa ktsas. Many poskim assume that it should be gvoa ktsas. So, for example, if you take a look at the Shevet Alevi, Yeah, we do have a photocopy. The Shevet HaLevi comments on the Harchakos in Hilchos Nida. Over there, in Hilchos Nida, the halacha is Lo Yochal Ima Al Shulchan. Reading from the Psak of the Mechaber first, Lo Yochal Ima Al Shulchan Elam Kein Yesham Shum Shinui. You can't eat together on Shulchan without a Shinui. You need some type of Shinui. Says Rav Ozner, Mashma the Sagi B'Shinui Kolshu. So over there is Mashma that it's any type of Shinui is going to be enough. He says, but in Basav Achalav it's not that way. He says, in Basav Achalav, what is the example we had in our halacha? A menorah. Or you had a lechem. All of those things are tall. They're not flush to the surface. So like a ring, or for that matter, a phone. A phone would be a pretty common hecker for a person to use, unless everybody puts down their phones before they eat. They put it on the table. But assuming that would be a natural hecker that people would use. A phone is very, very flat. So Rav Ozner just leaves off that he thinks that there is an inyan of gevoah k'tzas. He takes that as a davar pashut. But he says the minhag ha'olam is to be meikel when it comes to hilchos nida. So what does it seem to be that Rav Ozner's cheshbon is? Rav Ozner seems to be assuming like this, that when it comes to hilchos nida, what did the mechaber say? Just need shum shinui. Any type of shinui is going to be enough. But the Ramah, when it came to basa b'chalav, he needed something more. What did he need? He needed something that was a lechem menorah. Lechem menorah is gvoah k'tzas. I'm just pointing out that Darche Moshe was the one who said gvoah k'tzas, and the Ramah didn't say gvoah k'tzas. All he said was, he just gave the example of lechem menorah. Why would it be that we'd be more makel in Hilchos Nida, the Hekker, which is based on the Mishnah and Shabbos on Yud Gimel, lo yochal ima el shulchan, that because we have to create something to remind us, eating, what's the expression? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So eating in itself could be the beginning of an intimate experience. So therefore, when it comes to halachos of zava and nida, there's a requirement of heker. However, it could be the chaim svara is going to apply. The hainu, that when it comes to nida, all you need is some type of heker. Some type of heker immediately is going to remind them. However, when it comes to basar b'chalav, there it's a bigger chash. Because basar b'chalav is we're eating. There were more likely, because we ourselves are eating, so then you need a chashash that's going to be greater. Chaim had mentioned another nafkamina might be whether simply having other people at the table is going to be enough. When it comes to nida, it's going to be enough. You have other people at the table, it's going to be enough. When it comes to basar b'chalav, it's not going to be strange for us to share food that's basar b'chalav. It would be strange if the husband and wife would be intimate. So therefore, when it comes to Hilchos Nida, it could very well be that will be more Mekel. Well, as long as you have a Heker Ksas, that's going to be enough. When it comes to Basar B'chalav, then we're going to need a greater Heker, and that might fit into the deal, whether it's Gavoa or whether it's not Gavoa. If you take a look, the Yad, which Yad is this? The Yad Yehuda, here makes our point. Let's take a look at the Yad Yehuda. He just takes an interesting direction. If you take a look on the bottom, this is the Yad Yehuda, is in Pei Tes Hei. Take a look on all the way in the bottom. V'nirat Issa V'heter, Hoitzi Zeh. Where did Issa V'heter get this idea of Gvayak Tzas? So he says, that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we made reference before. That the Gemara says, if you have Shtei Tfisos, if they're in two different areas, well, how do you decide whether it's two different areas? Vehechi dami diika gova beni beni. There's something that's high that's standing between them. So we saw Taisus made mention that the explanation of tfisa means that they're separated from each other. And Taisus quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that if you have a separation between this Avodah Zarah and that this area and that area, so then that's Avodah Zarah. These stones are not Avodah Zarah. What's the separation over there? It's a gova. It's something that's hot. So in Tulsus' explanation, when it comes to Basar B'chalav, what is something that Shtei Tfisos, so then it needs something high. So therefore, the Darkei Moshe said that you're going to need something high. But then the Yad Yehuda continues and says, wait, not Mukhruch at all. He says, and this is why when Rav Oren the first time said to me, maybe you need Gvoah Ktzas, I said, I never heard of such a thing. So I said, I don't think it's right. And then I realized what was bothering me. That's what the Yad Yehuda goes on to say. Yad Yehuda says, but wait a second, we don't need Gova Ktsas because we see that a mappa is enough. So if a map isn't enough, so then obviously you don't need gova tzas. He then goes on and he says, oh, but that's the Isser of Heter L'Shitasai. The Isser of Heter L'Shitasai holds that a mappa doesn't work. So he says, ah, so it could be that the Isser of Heter L'Shitasai holds that Govek Tzas, but we hold that a mappa works, so you don't need Govek Tzas, so then you don't even need to say Rav Ozner's Chilek. The Rav Ozner says, the Minig Olam is to be Mekel in Ilchus Nita, but to be Machin or Basar B'chol, no. You can even be Mekel in Basar B'chol. But he concludes that it really doesn't work so well, because the Ramah himself in the Torah Schatas, I'm just speaking out the Yad Yehuda in Osei, the Ramah in the Torah Schatas says that when it comes to Mappa, he's Mekel, yet he says Govak Tzas, he also says Govak Tzas. So Kanireh this Tzvei Dinim, one day you'll advance with your Talmidim why that's so, but Kanireh this Tzvei Dinim, one halacha is that when it comes to Mappa is enough, that's already considered by definition a Tfisa Achas, Shtei Tfisos, because one is in one place and the other is in another place. And then there's another halacha, when it's sitting B'Tfisa Achas, but you have a Dover Gova that's Mafsik Beinayim, in such a case it's going to be Mutter. So it comes out that there are poskim that are Choshesh for Gova Tzas, and it would seem that one should choose something that has a higher higher standing, as opposed to something that's entirely flat. Okay. Let's get back to Chaim's question. Yes, Rav Binyamin.
What is the minhag with two tables that are like this? Like these two tables?
Yeah, nidmeli, that's two tfisas.
That would be good.
Yeah, I think that's that should be good. That's right. I think as long as they're two different things, it would seem to me that it's okay. If you take a look in Pisrei Tshuva, Dalid, he quotes a Masas Binyamin. And this is going to open up an entirely new sugya. If you take a look at Masas Binyamin, Sifkat and Dalid, Va'ayim b'tshuvas Masas Binyamin, be'emtza tshuva. De'mashmasham, de'im gam acherim oichen al shulchan zeh, mutar af below heker, de'zeh odif me'im asu shum heker. So we have an amazing kula from the Masas Binyamin. The Masas Binyamin says that the only time that there is going to be an Isser is if I'm eating basar and you're eating chalav. But what happens if you have other people there? Some of them could be eating basar, some of them could be eating chalav. So then in such a case, then that's going to be enough. Once you have more people there, it's going to be mutter. V'ayim mashek asafti l'kamon kuf tzadi hei sifkat anhei. Pizkei Tshuva says, take a look. In Hilchos Nida, I also gave you the heter of other people there. And that's where, Chaim, you have the machloikis, whether other people there just means other people there is enough, or you need other people sitting in between, the husband and wife, ayin sham b'pizkei Tshuva. So that is a suggested heter by the Masas Binyamin. So this would obviate many, many cases of Asa B'chol. Usually, what do you have in the yeshiva? You have that some of the guys are eating the yeshiva's food, eating the milchiks, and one of the guys went out to Burger's Bar. So, but usually in yeshiva, one of the guys went out to Burger's Bar. There are three, four guys who are sitting with each other. So it's not a problem. The guy from Burger's Bar is going to be able to eat with the rest of them as long as they have each other. That would be a heter that's on the books from the Pisrei Tshuva. But I say the Pisrei Tshuva, not the Masas Binyamin, because if you take a look, the Badei HaShulchan is not so excited about this heter at all. I have the Badei HaShulchan photocopied on page Memvav. Im Asu Shum Heker, he has the Pisrei Tshuva quoting the Masas Binyamin, and he says, no. He says, Chaim Svara, Chaim was mechamin to the Badei HaShulchan. The Revival Kohen Shlita suggests that when it comes to Nida is different. Because if you look in the Masas Binyamin, flag on the play on the Pisrei Tshuva. You look in the Masas Binyamin, there's no reference to Basar B'Chalav. He was only talking about Hilchos Nida. So when it comes to Hilchos Nida, when there's Anoshim Acherim, so that by definition is going to remind each other. However, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, that might be enough. The guy's going to, at the end of the day, yeshiva's food is not as good as Burger's Bar. So then, not only like someone like Binyamin Mektik, who came from Shalvim to Torah Shraga, but even in Torah Shraga, it's not the same as Burger's Bar, so then at the end of the day, then what we have to be choshish, that he's going to want to take a little bit of his friend's food. So then, in such an instance, a heker is not going to be enough by simply having friends. When it comes to Nida, then in such a case it would be enough. L'chura, the Badei Shulchan Svara is quite a strong Svara. Nidmeli, the Minhag Olam is to be Machmir, like the Badei Shulchan Svara. That's just because there are other friends sitting by, that would not serve as a Heker. However, just one second. I just want to point out the Piskei Chuva Lishitaso disagrees with the Badei Shulchan. Clearly, the fact that the Piskei Chuva concludes Va'ayim B'Mashe Kasafti, that the Piskei Chuva is being Medame Hilchos Nida to Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, it would seem, it's not Mukhrok, but it would seem that the Piskei Chuva holds that you can connect the two sugis. Yes.
If they're eating par in between,
L'chura it's the same din. L'chura, according to the Badei Shulchan, V'chora ein misham ray lahadidon, da'asam shuri misham deleka kira v'chiba v'neim, avol b'kan eina inyan l'kira v'chiba, v'imke ma yoel zesh acher ma'uklim gam kein sham. From the Badei Shulchan's mashma, even if they're eating parav, in such a case, one would have to be machan. And nidmeli that the minhag ha'olam is to follow that chum. I forgot to ask Rav Nevinzel about that, but it seems to me that is the mahalach. Now, the statement over here of the Piskei Tshuva brings up another issue in regards to Heker. And that is, there is a time that a friend might serve as a Heker. And that is what Rabbi Akiva Eger raises in Sifkat and Aleph. Ultimately, he quotes a Gan HaMelech that ultimately rejects it, but this is a fascinating question. What happens if I'm eating basar right next to Chalav? And for some reason, it's difficult for me to separate them. Am I allowed to appoint you as a shomer to make sure that I don't mix the two? As long as you're there, I'll be able to. You'll be my shomer. So if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says no. In Sifkat and Aleph, he says no. So friends don't work when it comes to basar v'chalav. Friends don't work in terms of friends sitting with you. It's not going to work. And to appoint a friend as your shomer, then in such a case, that's not going to work as well. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eger paskins. A friend isn't going to work. Question is, do you extend Rabbi Akiva Eger and say the following? That not only does a friend not work, but any heker is not going to work. In other words, there are some who say that if you have one person that's sitting at a table, bitfisa achas, and he has meat and milk, he can't eat there even with a heker. In other words, the only time a heker is going to work is if you have others with you. If you're by yourself, it's not going to work. If you notice, all we had in Shulchan Aruch HaRamah were two people. So there you have actually two safeguards. One safeguard is the heker, and the other is your friend. But if you're by yourself, maybe that's not going to be enough. Now, why would we have thought such a thing? Well, if a shomer doesn't work, so then a heker also shouldn't work. This is what Rav Miller Shlita assumed. Rav Miller assumed that from Rabbi Akiva Eger we see that not only does a shomer not work, but also a heker is not going to work as well. And it seems to me that the Badei HaShulchan as well assumes that, as Rav Miller had said also. Heker is not going to work. In Divrei HaMaskil, Asu. In Divrei HaMaskil, Asu, in the Badei HaShulchan, it's photocopied. You'll see that the Badei HaShulchan also assumed like Rav Miller. Okay, so now let's go to the next Shaila. What would you say? So bottom line is the Heker doesn't work. So what are you going to do? What could you do when you're eating by yourself? When you're on your own, correct. What should you do? So then you move it to another table. That's the bottom line. You shouldn't rely on Heker. You move it to another table, or you sit, or you put your eating milchiks, you put the milchiks on a mappa, and you have the fleishiks on the table. That would be fine. You don't have to change the world, but that would be necessary. What would you say about a long table? If you have a long table that we learned, that if you can't reach, then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So if you have two people that are sitting with each other. We learned that there's no need for a heker if the table is already a long table. What happens if you're sitting by yourself on a table and the table is long and you have the meat on the other side, but it's all betvisa achas without any shinui? Is that going to be enough? So here, Rav Miller said that he thought that there was a difference. He thought that in such a case, that's already a long table is considered a second tefisa. It's considered second tefisa. And therefore, the halach would be that even though you're going to be machmir on a regular heker, a long table, he said, could be enough. But he left it as a chakira. How do you look at a long table? Is a long table a vart in heker? So then in such a case, he said, it wouldn't work when you're sitting by yourself. But if a long table is a vart, that's a shtei tefisos, so then in such a case, it worked. That was how Rav Miller attacked the sugya. When I asked Rav Nevensal Shlita last night about the sugya, he was much more makel, as I mentioned. Rav Nevensal thought that when it comes to one person, a heker would work. I asked him about Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he said Rabbi Kiva Eger was talking about a shomer. He wasn't talking about a case of a heker. But so he assumed, not like Rav Miller and not like the Badei Shulchan. And the Badei Shulchan, I think, comes out as a third shita, that the Badei Shulchan is even machmer on a long table because he assumes that the long table is also a heker. If that would be so then in such a case, he assumes that A, that just like a shomer is no good, a heker is no good, and he assumes that a long table is also based on heker. So then in such a case, when you're by yourself, you would have to be machmer. So definitely, yesh al mi lismoch against the Badei HaShulchan, when you're sitting by yourself on a long table, it's a machlokas between Rav Miller and Rav Nevensal, what would be in regards to relying on a heker by yourself, whether a heker would serve to be effective. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, tam v'nishlam, sim peches. Oh, there's something else. Whenever you say tam v'nishlam, you always remember there's something else. You should be aware of Beis Yaakov, who has a fascinating chumrah that's not accepted lahalacha, that's quoted in the Be'er Heitev at the end of Sifkatan Beis. The Prima Gadim rejects it. The Beis Yaakov says as follows. Take a look at the Be'er Heitev. This became so controversial, it was put into parentheses in the Be'er Heitev. Be'Beis Yaakov hitter li Yisrael leishev etzel goya ochel treifes to chashin shem yoshed lo lachshilo. If a Jew is sitting next to a guy, we're not concerned, as we mentioned already all the way in the beginning of this year. Ach misha achal basar, aser leishev etzel misha achal gvina. Ki yesh lochush me achar de makira achal gvina, lo yodad achal basar yoshev lo. You're not allowed, if you're fleishiks, you're not allowed to sit next to somebody who's eating milfiks. Wild, huh? In other words, what did the Beis Yaakov do? Beis Yaakov took the whole gzera of Halah, and already the gzera was gzera atu, gzera, gzera, gzera atu. So he says, so if that's so, then we have to be machmir, that you can't sit next to somebody without a heker if you're fleishiks and he's eating milchiks. Lo ra'inu bazeh b'poskim. Before the Beis Yaakov. So the Prima Gadim Paskin is that the Olam is not Nizar, bazeh. Later, Poskim pointed out that even if the Beis Yaakov was correct, it would only be someone who's hungry. Someone who isn't hungry, then there isn't any type of chash. But kim dumani that the minhag olam is to be makel across the board against this Beis Yaakov. That the only chash is kemo shereinu b'mishnah, that you have gvina and basar biyachad, that if you're fleishiks, that the minhag olam is not to be machmir. Even though one has to be careful not to be nichshal, it's easy to be nichshal. You know, the Beis Yaakov is not crazy in terms of the chashash. It is pretty common for people to be nifshal within six hours. They say a beautiful story about our great Rebbe Rav Nevensal, that Fiskio Nevensal, his youngest son, grew up. And his father was always and in the morning, his mother would always say to his father, drink milk, drink milk. So he thought, as a child, that was because that... He said in his lashon, he thought that every mother says to their father, "Drink milk, drink milk." But he later found out that Rav Nevensal was once nichshal having chalav at the end of 6 hours after basar he forgot, and his wife realized that he wouldn't eat milchiks until someone told him that he was milchiks, because of such a pachad not to be nichshal of basar b'chalav. So his wife would always, she wouldn't drink milk until his wife told her. He trusted her to keep cheshbon 6 hours, but he wouldn't drink milk, bli neder, unless she reminded him that he was able to drink milk. So even in the morning, he wouldn't drink milk until she would say that. That's an Oved Hashem. At one time, he was nichshal at the end of 6 hours, so he wouldn't drink milk. Now back to our regular world for you and I. One should be careful, despite the fact that one could be made collected with the Beis Yaakov. Rabbosai, we're going to continue Mirtz Hashem Pei Tes on Monday. Mirtz Hashem.
What's the deal about? I thought that the Shach was saying that we don't hold
that.
I was just saying that you're
towards
people
who were more there
than
that.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole deal of the Shach is therefore
right.
All other cases you need to
right. But I think in the case of Mudra Hanah, but any other